Good morning and welcome to CBC News, coming to you from the Christmas Broadcasting Corporation. I'm Wes McCarr.
And I'm Tuesday Night. Wait,
In Christmas headlines today, anxiety levels rising amongst our children. Are they cracking under the strain of trying hard to be nice rather than naughty? Local councils working hard towards events around non-specific special celebration day. And chicken farmers make claims of discrimination amidst a general preference for turkey on the big day. The chickens themselves do not support these claims.
Later, the most recent spike in tinselitis infections has been traced back to a kindergarten Christmas craft activity in Hollyvine Park. Teachers have broadcast a tearful apology for the spread and also for the craft.
But first, a follow-up. In a previous story, we reported a strange phenomenon in the sky recently spotted by local farmers. A heavenly message was delivered by a choir of men in shining white outfits. Our sources have now confirmed the content of that message, and the following transcript has been released. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Experts have analyzed this transcript and claim that Messiah is a Jewish moniker given to a kingly figure that the Jewish culture has been expecting for some time. Whatever the accuracy of this, it is clear that this message is intended to cause joy, indeed to cause it for all people.
Thanks, Tuesday. I'm always hearing about joy around Christmas time, but I thought it was some feeling you got from spending more money.
No, not at all, Wes. Apparently, joy is a deep sense of well-being, not necessarily related to circumstances. Sounds like something investigating a little bit further.
Well, you can count on CBC News to keep you informed.
Very much. No need to clap, but I do really appreciate it. Thank you. My name's Owen, and I'm thankful to be married to Sarah, who's going to speak on Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 15. And that's page 724 in the Pew Bibles. And it's entitled The Birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
Good morning, everyone. For those of you that don't know me, my name's Sarah. I'm one of the pastors here at Only Park Baptist Church. It's great to be here. And it's actually really extra special to be able to witness the baptism this morning. And thank you, Maddie and Yolanda. That was really amazing to hear your testimony. So thank you for sharing with us. That's great. Now, the word joy has been mentioned a few times this morning, and most of you probably heard it in around Christmas time, carols, Christmas cards, Advent sermons. I was very excited, actually, that I was able to have this topic this morning, because joy evokes a really positive, warm feeling, something we would really desire to have in our lives. And I think you'd agree with me, it's an emotion that shines outward. And it's really evident to other people. At Christmas, we hope to see the joy of the Lord on the faces of our family and friends. Perhaps even more so when we gather together and as we give and receive gifts. In our Tuesday playgroup the other week, we gave all the children a present. And I think this photo of one of the playgroup kids depicts joy perfectly. Isn't that cute? Speaking of gifts, I'm sure you all have memories of a special or unique Christmas gift. The first Christmas after we were married, we had lunch with Owen's family. And before Christmas, Owen's mum, Barbara, had asked him for a list of suggestions for Christmas presents. Now, as Owen opened his present of a long-handled scrubbing brush, he wore a really puzzled expression. He was trying to be really polite and grateful, but he could not imagine asking for such an item. Now, Barbara reassured him it was on your list, and slowly it dawned on Owen that his doctor-like messy handwriting may have caused a bit of confusion. On his list, he'd written a shrub or bush for the back, meaning some greenery for our backyard. I'm not sure if you still have the long-handled scrubbing brush, eh? I think that disappeared. Our Western Christmas tradition includes giving gifts. Now, there's lots of reasons why we give gifts. But in amongst all that, I think we really hope to bring joy to the person that we give a gift to. Now, this could be a bit more difficult than it sounds. I wonder if any of you heard about the recent survey in Australia about the most and least popular Christmas gifts. The top-ranked item, does anybody know, was gift vouchers. So I don't know if we just don't trust people to get us a good present, I'm not sure. But funnily enough, the next highest-ranked gift was sentimental handmade gifts. Now, I was really surprised that these sentimental gifts were ranked so high. They were well above fashion, sneakers, beauty products, even air fryers. So if you think about it, gifts bring joy when they do express love and knowledge of the other person. To show love, a person generously chooses, carefully wraps a gift, and a gift brings a special kind of joy when it demonstrates someone really knows us and loves us. I have a special memory of when Joshua, my son, was 7 years old, and he gave me a very thoughtful gift. And what made this gift special was that he remembered overhearing me talk to a friend about something I'd seen in the news. It was a sentimental photo recreation gift that I'd seen, and I just love the idea of older kids recreating a childhood photo. Now, secretly, Josh asked his big sisters to help him find some old photos, as old as 7 years old can be, and assist him to stage the photo, print them, and put them in an album for me for Christmas. Here's an example of some of the photos, if you can see those. There's another one. Now, as I opened this little photo album and saw the photos, I just remember I laughed, I cried, I just was so overwhelmed by the thought and effort and care that went into this. So one of my daughters was ready and waiting for my reaction to this cute little gift, and she captured these emotions. I didn't know she had them until the other day. So that was my reaction. It was just all this joy bubbling out in crying and laughing. And I just remember strongly feeling that I was loved and I was known and I'd been heard. So in today's Bible reading, we hear the announcement of a very special gift, a gift from God for all people, a gift that demonstrates that God's incredible love for us is evident. In verse 10 and 11, the angel announces the gift that will bring great joy. God's Son has come into the world. He's described as Saviour, the long-awaited Messiah, the chosen one who God would send to save his people. What about this gift showed God's love for us and his knowledge for us? And how does it give us joy? Well, there's three words I thought might help us understand this better. And because I'm the daughter of an English teacher and love alliteration, they're all going to start with the same letter. So the first word is creation. Because to unwrap the specialness of the gift of Jesus, I feel we need to start at the beginning. The first chapters of the Bible in Genesis demonstrates God's love and his purpose for us. They explain why God knows us so well. The very first sentence of the Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." As each element of the created world is added, it's described as good. As the climax is in the creating of humans, and they're created in God's image, no less. God loves us and knows us because he created us. And as it's expressed in the Psalms in chapter 139, God created my inmost being. The Message version puts it this way: "You shaped me inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God. You're breathtaking. Body and soul, I'm marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit. How I was sculpted from something, from nothing into something." In verse 31 of Genesis 1, we read, "God saw all that he had made, and it was very good." God made a perfect world and created humans to enjoy it to the full, basking in the beauty of their environment and sharing fellowship with their loving creator. Can you imagine the joyfulness experienced in this amazing world? But, did you feel there was a but coming? It wasn't too long before things went pear-shaped. Adam and Eve made choices that caused the perfect world and perfect relationship with God to be broken. So here's the next word that we need to consider, and that's compassion. God loves and knows his created people, and even as his creation disappointed him, disconnected from him, God did not give up on us. He wants to see brokenness restored. He wants to see sadness lifted. He wants to see the relationship with his creation reconciled. In Psalm 103, we read of God's compassion for us. "The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He doesn't punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth." And Psalm 145 echoes this as well. "The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation." Despite our failures, God is not put off. He knows the worst about us, and he knows we need forgiveness and hope. Our bad choices, they deserve punishment. Our failures have some consequences. So without God's help, we're living in bondage. We're distant from our Heavenly Father. Basically, we're pretty lost. However, his incredible compassion and love are what leads him to make a way for things to be right again. And this is where the third word comes in. It's Christ. Christ is another word for Messiah, the one who is needed to bridge the gap, to reconcile us to our Creator, God our Father. So now we've circled back to the angel's announcement in Luke chapter 2. "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord." Here is the good news of great joy. This small baby would grow up and through his death and resurrection, we can be brought back into relationship with God. A joyous relationship we were created for. A summary of the extent of God's love and his desire for us to experience joy and connection with him is found in 1 John 4, verses 9 to 10. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. If we take a step of faith, admit our failure and our need for help, believe and trust Jesus is the Son of God, God's Spirit, his presence, is with us. In verse 13 to 16, it says, "And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love." We are loved and known by the Creator of the universe. He loved us and kept loving us even when we let him down. God's compassion for us resulted in an incredible rescue plan that sent Jesus, the Christ, to earth to set in motion the events that would reconcile us to him and give us eternity in his presence. We can reach out and take hold of that gift freely offered to us. I'm sure you would have heard this exact message in the testimony of the two girls baptized this morning. They have demonstrated their faith and belief in God through their decision to follow him, to accept the gift of Jesus, his love, his forgiveness, and to trust him with their lives. They reflect the joy of finding their identity in Christ, knowing he's with them through all the experiences of life, no matter what. They have invited us to share in their joy this morning through the gift of their personal testimony of God's work in their lives. And they've invited us to share in the knowledge of the enormity of God's love for us. God wants us all to experience the good news of great joy. And I think, who was it, Tuesday night, alluded to this. Joy is different to happiness. It's not dependent on circumstances. And someone put it this way. Happiness is based on what is happening around us. Joy is based on what is happening within us. God is a joyous God. He created us to know and feel joy. We can experience real joy when the Spirit is with us. Now, this might all sound easy peasy, straightforward, smooth sailing, but we are realistic to know that things can steal our joy. And sometimes these are the same things that draw us away from God. I want to continue with a few more words that will help us to remember these three things. The first word is comparison. A quote that was shared in a Bible study I was in once always stuck with me. Comparison is the thief of joy. If we're too focused on what others have, materially, socially, and spiritually, we are easily disheartened. In our privileged world, it doesn't take much to look at another person's newly bought item, a new gadget, a car, I don't know, lots of things, a guitar maybe, and wish we had the same. Socially, we may be jealous of someone else's popularity, of a seemingly perfect life, as told by Facebook. It's a proven phenomenon that social media and advertising are responsible for making us anxious and discontent. Even spiritually, we can feel sometimes like others are so much more deep in their faith. And I went through a phase of reading a lot of missionary biographies at one stage, and as much as I felt inspired, I also often felt downright unworthy and pretty jealous. These feelings suck the joy out of what we have been provided with and blessed with in our lives. And in his letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul shares some helpful advice for us. Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world and we can take nothing out. Such simple advice, yet we know it's true. So where in our lives might we see comparison stealing our joy? When our envy is replaced with gratitude for all that God has given us, it will truly make a difference. I believe that a contented person is one who can exude a lot of joy. Another thief of joy is allowing ourselves to be held captive to consuming emotions. It's normal to experience a range of emotions in our daily life, but when we're really consumed by the negative thoughts and feelings, such as anger or frustration, it can really start to choke out the joy. I recognise that 2020 and 2021 have been full of challenges. There's lots of polarising opinions, politics, frustration at restrictions or regulations that are happening due to a pandemic we have no control over. But we just need to ask God to help us create the circuit breaker to cut through the negative thoughts, to draw us to Himself, lead us to worship Him. I love this verse from John's Gospel where Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and life to the full." So what changes can we make in our thoughts and attitudes to let go of consuming emotions and experience life more fully and with joy? Also in life, we might face some challenging circumstances, unexpected change, some loss, health struggles, transition times, fear or sadness, discouragement, anxiety. Those things can threaten to overwhelm us and take away our joy. But this is where we need to remind ourselves of God's hope, His peace, His love, His promise that He will never leave us or forsake us. The Apostle Paul is a great example of recognizing the reality of sorrow, the reality of suffering, yet still finding a way to rejoice with the Spirit's help. Without God, we're bereft when things outside our control beat us down. But God doesn't want us to feel weighed down by our burdens, the hard challenges that make us feel heavy, obstruct our joy. He wants to carry those burdens for us, and He's given us the body of believers to support and care, to encourage us, to pray for us, to build us up. At the school my daughters went to in Japan, there was an infamous camp that every student in year 11 had to participate in. It was called Wilderness Camp, but the students nicknamed it Stress Camp. It was a camp where you had to rough it, you had to carry all your food, water and supplies for 5 days in a pack on your back while you were hiking up a mountain. The students were divided into groups with boys and girls, a small group of boys and girls and a teacher. And I know from my daughter's experience, it was a bit of a bonus if you were in a group with a kind and reasonably strong boy in your group that offered to carry some water supplies. And in one case, I know my son-in-law was one of these, Sam, just offered to carry someone else's pack just to give them a break for a while. And if you can visualise somebody taking this heavy pack off another person and putting it on themselves, it made all the difference. For those that were struggling under the strain, having that weight taken off made that long hike suddenly seem possible. I'm sure you can imagine them standing straighter and feeling more confident. And the same for us. When our burdens are lifted, we stand straighter and we see a way through the challenge ahead. And Jesus urged His followers, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in the heart, and you will find rest for your souls." There is relief and joy in knowing we're not alone. Now, to experience joy is to want to share it. And joy should be infectious. I'm talking about the good kind of infectious. So if I ask you to imagine a person that would be described as joyful, who comes to mind? What is it about that person that screams joy? What is it that draws you into feeling their joy too? How can we be that joy-filled person to someone else? How can we bring joy to others? At our street party last Sunday, Jason talked about noticing the kindness of others. Kindness is a precursor to joy. I don't know if anyone remembers the movie Pay It Forward. I realised when I looked it up, it's actually kind of old. Sorry, young people, it's from the year 2000. Anyway, this movie was about a boy who was in year 7 and he had to design a school project to change the world. That was his assignment. So this young boy designed his project called Pay It Forward. And for every favour or act of kindness that somebody received, the idea was to pay it forward to three people, at least three people. So his idea was to spread out the kindness and bring joy to as many people as possible. I think in the same way, for us, sharing joy requires an action. It could start with a smile. It could be a kind word of encouragement. It could be an act of generosity. It could be an invitation for somebody to join in. But also it can often be sharing the heart of God for his world. That's just the beginning. The opportunities to share joy really are endless. Now let's go back to the vision we're given of the angel bringing good news to the shepherds. After the good news is delivered, the excitement and joy is multiplied by a host of angels, a vast host, a great company. The sky is filled with an incredible heavenly choir. I'm sure the joy is palpable and the shepherds don't hesitate to go as quickly as they can to see what they've been told about this baby, their Messiah, their Saviour. Now, we didn't read this verse, but in verse 17, it says, "When the shepherds had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed." They tell everyone what had happened. They tell them all about what the angel had said about this child. They didn't hesitate to share the good news of joy with others. Then they go back to their fields, praising God for all they'd seen. So how does this good news told 2,000 years ago make a difference to us here and now? Clearly today we have witnessed the difference it has made to these two young women who have been baptized this morning. How about you? Have you heard and accepted the good news, the gift of Jesus for yourself? If not, I ask you to consider what you've heard this morning through testimonies, through the word of God, about God's love for you as creator and his compassion for you in sending Jesus to deliver us. I invite you to receive him as your Lord and Saviour and know the incredible joy of his salvation. On the stained glass window of this church to my right is a picture of Jesus standing at a door. This image depicts the words from Revelation 3, verse 20. "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." The gift has been offered. It needs to be received. Open the door to Jesus, invite him into your life. You will experience a special kind of joy this Christmas. Many of you have accepted Christ into your heart already, but I invite you to reclaim the joy of the good news. Be reminded again of God's incredible love for you and his desire for you to experience joy in his presence. I challenge you to draw near to God, be grateful for his many, many gifts. Allow him to take the things that burden you and find the joy of being his child. And don't forget, we want to share that joy. We want to share the good news of God's great love. Last week at our street party, the choir sang a song, and I just want to quote a few of the words from that song. And I just want you to think about that image of the angels sharing that good news of great joy. "God, I want to feel the wonder of heaven touching earth. Hear a thousand angels sing, our God is here. Don't let there be a moment I miss. Don't let this be just another Christmas this year." I just want to pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way you have created us. the wonder that we are made in your image. We are made to experience and know joy. We thank you that you are a God of joy. You've created that emotion and you want us all to know that joy. We thank you for your compassion, for the way that you have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to save us. And in that promise of forgiveness, of your love, your mercy, your grace, you have made a way for us to be your child, for your Spirit to be within us, and for us to know the joy of life here and the joy of being in your presence forever. I ask, Lord, that today you will open the hearts of those yet to receive this good news. May it be something, Lord, that is that they are unable to push away, that they want and seek your joy, your gift of Jesus. I pray for those of us that know you already. I pray that you will bring us again the joy that we remember from the moment that we accepted you into our lives. May this Christmas, when we hear the word joy, may it just mean something extra special. And may it just be a continual reminder of your compassion and of your love in bringing Christ to earth. And I want to finish with this blessing. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.